Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Text number 26. Kvaham raja pravava ishatamo dikesmin. Jatak sure tarak kule kva tavanukampa. Na brahmano nutupavasya vai ramaya. Yan mer pita shirasi padma kara prasadaha. Kwa, where? Aham, I am. Raja Prabhava, being born in the body full of passion. Isha, O my Lord. Tamaha, the mode of ignorance. Adike, surpassing in. Asmin, in this. Jataha, born. Sura, Itara kule, and a family of atheists or demons who are subordinate to the devotees. Kwa, where? Tava, your. Anukampa, causes mercy. Na, not. Brahmana, of Lord Brahma. Na, not. To, but. Bhavasya, of Lord Shiva. Na, nor. By, even. Ramaya, of the goddess of fortune. Yat, which. May, of me. Arpita, offered. Shirasi, on the head. Padma, Kara, lotus hand. Prasadaha, the symbol of mercy. O my Lord, O Supreme, because I was born in a family full of the hellish material qualities of passion, ignorance, what is my position? What is to be said to be a causeless mercy, which was never offered even to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi? You never put your lotus hand upon their heads, but you put it upon mine. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj was surprised at the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord, personality of Godhead. Although Prahlad was born in a demoniac family, and although the Lord had never before placed his lotus hand on the head of Brahma, Shiva, or the goddess of fortune, his constant companion, Lord Nrisingadev kindly placed his hand on the head of Prahlad. This is the meaning of causeless mercy. The causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead may be bestowed upon anyone, regardless of his position in this material world. Everyone is eligible to worship the Supreme Lord, irrespective of his material position. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Mam jayo vyabhitraina bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan ramabhoyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature, and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Anyone who engages in continuous devotional service to the Lord is situated in the spiritual world, has nothing to do with the material qualities, sattva-gun, rajagun, and tamagun. Because Prahlad Maharaj was situated on the spiritual platform, he had nothing to do with his body, which had been born of the modes of passion and ignorance. The symptoms of passion and ignorance are described in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.19 as lust and hankering. Tada rajas tamo bhava kama loba deyas chaye. Prahlad Maharaj, being a great devotee, thought the body born of his father to be born of passion and ignorance. Because Prahlad was fully engaged in the service of the Lord, his body did not belong to the material world. The pure Vaishnava's body is spiritualized even this life. For example, when iron is put into a fire, it becomes red hot and is no longer iron but fire. Similarly, the so-called material bodies of devotees who fully engage in the devotional service of the Lord, being constantly in the fire of spiritual life, have nothing to do with matter but are spiritualized. Srila Madhvacharya remarks that the goddess of fortune, the mother of the universe, could not get mercy similar to that which was offered to Prahlad Maharaj. For although the goddess of fortune is always a constant companion of the Supreme Lord, the Lord is more inclined to his devotees. In other words, devotional service is so great that when it is offered even by those born in low families, the Lord accepts it as being more valuable than the service offered by the goddess of fortune. Lord Brahma, Lord King Indra, and the other demigods living in the upper planetary systems are situated in a different spirit of consciousness, and therefore they are sometimes troubled by demons. But a devotee, even if situated in the lower planets, enjoys life in Krishna consciousness and under any circumstances. Parataka Swatta Karmataha. As he acts himself, as he is instructed by others, or as he performs his material activities, he enjoys life in every respect. In this regard, Madhvacharya quotes the following verses which are mentioned in the Brahma Tarka. So Brahma Brahmi Vin Daradi Tri Kal Tat Sri Puru Stutaha Yad Arnye Cha Kramate Deva Sada Muktao Smritavapi Hari Bhakto Jatajjane Suke Cha Niyamena Hitu Paratak Swatak Karmatod Va Na Gatanshit Tad Anyata. Prahlad Maharaj was surprised at the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead. For although Prahlad was born in a demoniac family, and although the Lord had never before placed his lotus hand on the head of Brahma, Shiva, or the goddess of fortune, his constant companion, Lord Nrisingadeva kindly placed his hand on the head of Prahlad. This is the meaning of causeless mercy. The causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead may be bestowed upon anyone regardless of his position in this material world. Everyone is eligible to worship the Supreme Lord irrespective of his material position. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Oh, that was the purport. Let's try the verse. Oh my Lord, O Supreme, because I was born in a family full of the hellish material qualities of passion and ignorance, what is my position and what is to be said of your causeless mercy, which was never offered even to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. You never put your lotus hand upon their heads, but you have put it upon mine. As explained in the Bhagavad Gita, devotional service is not a material activity of the material world, but is a spiritual activity performed by the soul. And therefore, it's a question of what the soul is doing. Because unless the soul understands its how to properly utilize its free will, the soul doesn't know what it's actually doing, practically speaking. In other words, as Krishna says, that Indriyani Paranyahur, Indriyabhyak Paramanak, Manasastu Purar Budir, Yo Bude Paratastu Saha, that the working senses are superior to dull matter, that the mind is higher than the senses, intelligence is higher than the mind, and he, the soul, is even higher than the intelligence. Evam bude puram budva samstabhyatmanam atmana trihi shatru mahabaho kamarupam durasadam. Thus knowing oneself to be transcendental to material senses, mind, and intelligence, one should control the lower self by the higher, and thus by spiritual strength, conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. So how do we control the lower self or the higher? Well, by thinking about Krishna. As soon as we come under the Krishna star, then Krishna begins to control our mind and senses through his spiritual energy, and therefore we're no longer subjected to the influence of the mode's material nature. In other words, to concentrate the mind upon Krishna and to give one's love to Krishna is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. And everyone has the opportunity to do it. As Prabhupada said, it's only a question of understanding and accepting the fact. Of course, we have to theoretically understand it, how the material nature is working, which Krishna explains elaborately at the end of the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, beginning with Dhyayato Visham Pumsam, Sangaste Shupajayate, Sangas Sanjayate Kama, Kama Krodo Pujayate, Krodad Bhavati Samoha, Samaha Smriti Vibramsat, Smriti Bramsat Purinasho, Purinashat Pranashiti. You know what the verse is? Chapter 2. Text number is 62 and 63. That while contemplating the objects of the senses, person develops attachment for them. From attachment, lust develops. From lust comes anger. From anger comes delusion. From delusion comes bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. When intelligence is lost, one falls into the material pool. In other words, as soon as we don't see things in relation to Krishna, then the default is we see it in relation to our material conception of life. This is something I can enjoy, or this is something I can enjoy. If I can enjoy it, we're attached. If I can't enjoy it, I usually become averse to it. In any case, as soon as one is situated in the material concept of life, either lust will arise or anger will arise, depending how long we contemplate the object. And automatically, it'll simply add to our accumulated delusion. We're already deluded, seeing ourselves through this material body. We already believe we're in some kind of drama where I'm the main hero, according to my conception, or heroine. We already believe that. And then when we're adding more material fuel to it, then the delusion becomes even deeper. We become even more convinced that actually I am some hero or heroine in one of the seven direct, indirect or five direct rasas. Even there is, I'm absorbed in karunya, lamentation, or rudra, anger, or pity, or laughter. I believe actually I'm some kind of taking part in some kind of play. Not play, some kind of drama. So that's called delusion. And then I forget who I actually am. Forget who I am means even if someone tells me that my body's changing, but I'm not changing, I have no feeling for that. I have no remembrance of that. I have no intelligence in order to understand it and experience it. Just like if you tell an animal that your body is changing but you're not changing, the animal simply look at you and growl, or not appreciate your philosophy. So that's the way material nature works, and the way the spiritual nature works begins with raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishenindriyastran atma vaishevadat vishayatma prasadamadigachiti. One so that one who controls the senses by following the regular principles of freedom can become free from all attachment or aversion, and thus obtain the full mercy of the Lord. In other words, while we're trying to meditate upon Krishna, while we're trying to become Krishna conscious, we still have to utilize the senses in Krishna's service. There's no question of just doing whatever we feel like it, and at the same time, becoming Krishna conscious. We may imagine that we're thinking about Krishna, but Krishna wants us to do so. Krishna reveals himself by service, not by simply our imagination. So unless we accept that everything is meant for Krishna's service, including my own body, mind, and words, unless we're following Krishna's instructions of his representatives in the Bhagavad Gita and those who are repeating the message of Bhagavad Gita, unless we're doing our activities to please Krishna, then our show of devotional service is just that. It's a show. It doesn't go very deep. Therefore, raga dvesha vimukta istu. We can give up attachment or aversion when we do something for Krishna. That I'm doing it not because I want to do it, or not that I'm averse to it. I'm doing it because Krishna wants me to do it. That mood of wanting to doing something because I believe Krishna wants me to do it. And that belief is not, shouldn't be just a sentiment. It should be based upon Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra. And I'm doing it to please Krishna. I don't expect any material reward for it. I only hope that Krishna is pleased by it. So that's called devotional service. And in such devotional service, one can remember Krishna in the mood of devotion, and then one becomes, Krishna reveals himself in that mood, and one becomes conscious of Krishna. There's no other formula that's going to work. Prasadam sarva dukkhanam harayasya prajayate, prasadam chaita soyasu buddhipariya vatishtate. For one who's so situated, the threefold miseries of material life exist no longer. In such a happy state, one's intelligence soon becomes steady. In other words, when we actually experience Krishna, then we can understand my endeavor for material assets, either subtle or gross, doesn't really fulfill me. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, he endeavored in a wonderful way to obtain some material benediction. And at the end, after going through such severe austerities, when he realized Krishna and was offered a planet bigger than the universe, he wasn't interested in it because Krishna consciousness was so pleasing to Dhruva Maharaj that any material benediction seemed like to him, he said, like some broken pieces of glass instead of a diamond like Krishna. So that we may not realize, but that's possible if we to gradually experience that if we utilize our intelligence and understand what is the value of material life and what is the value of spiritual life, even theoretically, and just try to act on the theoretical platform, and then there's the possibility of some realization. But of course, it shouldn't just be theoretical, it should be applied also, properly applied. And to apply it requires some faith. And therefore, that's why we hear instructions to develop faith. That's why we live in the Association of Devotees and try to see those who are more serious about devotional service than we are and follow in their footsteps with some faith. So that we can come and to a higher level of experience of Krishna consciousness. Nasti buddhiya yuktasya na cha yuktasya bhavanaha. For one who's not in Krishna consciousness or spiritual consciousness can have neither controlled mind nor steady intelligence, without which there's no possibility of peace, and how can there be any happiness without peace? So if we're constantly identifying or misidentifying ourselves with these gross and subtle bodies, how can we be peaceful? The body is miserable already, and its destination is even more miserable. So as long as we're identified with the body, we can't be peaceful. And if one is not peaceful, where there is any question of being happy? If you're told that you can, after the fast today, you can have any prasadam you want, but tomorrow we're going to execute you, you probably lose your appetite. So we may not be killed today, but we'll probably be killed tomorrow or in 50 years from now. Everyone's going to be killed. But somehow or another we try to forget our destination, and therefore we maintain our appetite at least. But if one is actually absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then one will not identify himself with the gross and subtle body and think that I'm going to have a beginning and the end. The body had a beginning, the body will have an end, but I won't. That I can have a wonderful beginning in Krishna consciousness if I try to utilize my body, mind, and words in Krishna's service, to become Krishna conscious by the process of understanding things properly and engaging accordingly. Then Krishna says, Indriyanam hicharitam yanmano nuvidiyate tadasa hariti pragya vayor navami vambasi. Just like a boat on the water is swept away by a strong wind, so even one of the roaming senses in which the mind becomes fixed can carry away a man's intelligence. So our senses are always roaming over the material creation, because that's the nature of having senses. But when we become attached to something in the material world, want to possess it for enjoyment, then it carries away our spiritual intelligence. Yanisha sarvabhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami yasya grinami samyami vayora anana. Yanisha sarvabhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami tasyam jagrati samyami sanisha pashuto mune. What is night for all sentient beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled. And the night for all the self-controlled is the time of awakening for all sentient beings. In other words, those who are interested in being carried away by their senses, who are actually looking to be attracted by the objects so that one can enjoy them, they're living in the darkness of material existence. And they think that those who are spiritualists are just wasting their time. Rather than trying to be happy by gratifying their senses, they're engaged in some illusory pursuit to become spiritually conscious, which they don't believe is such a thing. And those who are actually spiritually conscious, they think the people who are simply trying to gratify lust and anger and greed are wasting their time because they'll never be satisfied. So they think that they're in darkness. But one who's enlightened, aporyamana machala pratishtam samudram apapavishanti advat tavat karmiyam pravishanti sarve sashantimat noti nakamakami. The one who's actually has some taste for Krishna consciousness, he will not become disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is always being filled and is always still. Such a person can actually find peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. So to give up, vihaya kamayak sarvam, pumam charati nispriha, nirmamo nirahankara sashanti madhigachite. So we have to hear that we're actually supposed to give up things like vihaya kama, lust. That lust is not a good thing. Vihaya yak sarvam, pumam charati nispriha. Nispriha. One has to become materially desireless, spiritually full of spiritual desires, but no more material desires. Nispriha. Nirmamo. That one has to give up this conception that these things belong to me. One has to identify themselves as Krishna's property. One has to identify these things as Krishna's property. Nirahankara, and give up our false ego, that I am the doer, I am this body, I am independent, etc., etc. And rely upon Krishna and his representatives, and therefore we become peace. Esha brahman siti partha, nayam prafi vimuyati, stidvasyam antakalepi, brahman nirvana richate. And one who's fully absorbed in that consciousness of Krishna, and aloof from material desires, and from false ego and sense of proprietorship, then he can actually enter into the kingdom of God, and enter into the kingdom of God, even at the time of leaving this body. So I'll stop there. Any questions, comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Neophyte devotee is observing a lot of things. Also, observing how the society is working, and you can see that there is some institution, that there are some rituals that are followed, and from the perspective with poor knowledge, and because you're a neophyte, you can see that if somebody is really if somebody is practicing Krishna consciousness for a longer time and is recognized by others as a devotee, that advanced devotee, you can see that they get better facilities or more better arrangements in a way that they get a better part of prasadam, or that they can not sleep on the floor or in the bed. How to understand this opulence that is then given by those devotees who are longer practicing Krishna courses and they're recognized as more advanced? Like, for instance, Prabhupada, you can see the pictures, such a nice Vyasasan, such a nice temple, his room, all the facilities in the room, but he should be renounced in a way. Can you please bewilder this, my misunderstanding? Maybe I'm not a native speaker, so sometimes I use the wrong words. But probably you understand what I was trying to say.
Well, Krishna is giving these things according to how much. Well, first of all, these things are given by Krishna. Krishna is the one who's manifesting things. We're not manifesting. And in the case of Prabhupada especially, he was utilizing everything for Krishna's service. He didn't need any of these things. But because they were offered, he utilized them in Krishna's service. So they were utilized for the benefit of the people who were offering them. And at the same time, Prabhupada was engaged in important service, and therefore some arrangement had to be made. Not that he was going to sleep outside, at the same time translate the books. So unless arrangements were made so for him, for his traveling and his for his translation, and just for his body, which was over 70 years old, then we wouldn't have had we wouldn't have these books, we wouldn't have Krishna consciousness. So it's not that, as Prabhupada said when he came one place, the reporter said, "We saw that you were, they offered you a Rolls Royce." Prabhupada said, "Actually, they're supposed to offer this, they're offering it to Krishna, they should be offering a gold car. Because it's Krishna, I'm working as Krishna's representative. So this opulence is nothing for Krishna." It's not worth any of those so opulent. But it's just, it's what Krishna is making arrangements. So, to facilitate the service of his devotees, and at the same time, give people the opportunity to utilize their energies in Krishna's service. Not that everyone is supposed to be the same. Or that in our philosophy that we should all be living underneath the tree, that we shall have renounced. But according to Sri Rupa Goswami, Nirbandha Krishna Sambande Yukta Vairagi Uchite. Nirbandha Krishna Sambande Yukta Vairagi Uchite. Nirbandha Vishaya Pumsam. Nirbandha Krishna Sambande Yukta Vairagi Uchite. What's the first line? Anasakta Sivishayan. Itarham upayunjitaha nirbandha krishna sambandhe yukta vairagi bhutaha. A renunciation of the things that are actually supposed to be utilized in Krishna's service is actually not real renunciation. It's when things are dovetailed and utilized in Krishna's service, that's really renunciation. It's all Krishna's energy. It should all be utilized in Krishna's service. The dictaphone, the computers, everything else. Spread Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we're prapanam kastya buddhya pari sambandhi vastana. What's the next one? Vimukshu vi prityago vairagi bhava uchite. That renunciation of the things which are actually supposed to be utilized in Krishna service is called pagu vairagi, false renunciation. Actually, people are attached to these things, or they're averse to them. It's only when we see things in relation to Krishna and try to utilize the holy world in Krishna's service that that's real renunciation.
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.